Good morning, everybody. This is the Sponsorship Workshop, and I'm Shelley H.
And my name is David.
Would you please join us in the Serenity Prayer?
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the worthless.
And before we start, I want to read something, and this is the bulk of our program. Be aware that as of this moment, no one has succeeded in staying abstinent long-term without the use and acceptance of the 12 steps of recovery. Originally created for alcoholics, the 12 steps are most successful intervention known to us today for addicts of all kinds. To stay abstinent, we suggest you begin working the steps immediately. We reprint them in Appendix C as modified for compulsive eaters. And this is found in page 9 in Forever Abstinence. And the books that we're going to be working from mostly, this is the nuts and bolts of the program. This is the Forever Abstinence and the Sponsor Guidelines. Everything you need to know is in these two books. There's also another book called Sponsoring and See How, but I really, this is what I get all my answers from. So with that, I'm going to open up the floor. Yes.
Oh, good. Okay. So I'm just checking.
That's fine. Thank you, Michael. I'm going to open up the floor to David S.
Hi, my name is David.
Hi, David.
And I am a compulsive eater. Is there anybody else in the room that's a compulsive eater? Looks like it's unanimous. All right, so the topic is sponsorship. So what experience, strength, and hope do I have regarding sponsorship? Well, I sponsor 3 men at the moment. I probably sponsored 20 to 25 people. You know, some people come and go, and you know, our guideline suggests that if someone doesn't call over a 3-day period, that we're not obliged to, but we can release those people. And sometimes that's to their benefit and to our benefit as well. So when I first got involved in the program, I found a sponsor. And actually, my sponsor found me. You know, the story goes that we were both in a bike club, and he had a large pot belly, and I had a large pot belly, and I was having trouble getting my shoes and socks on in the morning, and also I had it was very hard for me to find this energy to get through the day. You know, I'd go to work, and then I'd come home, and I'd lie in bed, you know. And there was very little in between other than the bike riding. So we were sitting up in a cafe in this little burg, and I noticed that he didn't have that pot belly anymore. And so I said, what did you do? And he said, well, I'm going to this program called CEA How. Now, I had heard about How before it was CEA How, and I said, well, is that like OA How? And he said, well, it's similar. And he says, why don't you come to a meeting with me? And he didn't tell me about, you know, you got to call your sponsor, you've got to make 3 outreach calls, you've got to do your writing every day, you know. He just said, why don't you come to a meeting? And I think that if he had heard about OA How being that, and I said, I don't think I can do all of that, you know. He says, just come to a meeting with me. So we went to the Downey meeting on Firestone Boulevard in southern LA County, and I heard all these people get up and they would say, "Oh, I've lost 100 pounds and I've kept it off for 8 years." And I said, "Wow, that's what I want," you know, because I had been in OA. And I watched people eat their lunch in OA meetings, and I noticed that people weren't losing weight, and I wanted to lose some weight. I even tried doing the bulimia thing, you know, sticking my finger down my throat and vomiting, you know, because I wanted to be thin. And so I went to the meeting, and I was impressed. I was really impressed, and Ray Z was around. And so the guy that brought me to the meeting, who was sitting in the room, began teaching me how to work this program. And we worked through the first 30 days, and we were still riding our bikes, and we'd go up these steep hills, and I'd be yelling at them, "I need some grain!" Because it was hard climbing up some of these hills with all that extra weight. So within the first 30 days, with the first 3 months, I had lost 45 pounds. First month I lost 25 pounds. The second month I lost 11 pounds. The third month I lost 9 pounds. And now I was at goal weight. Now I was at maintenance weight because I was down to 154 pounds, where I had been over 200 pounds previously. So we did the first 30 days. We did the step up ceremony, and then we started on the fourth step inventory. And this has gone on now for 16 years. You know, so today I've been on maintenance for almost 16 years. It'll be August 22nd is my maintenance date. So anyway, this program works for me. You know, we have program guidelines. Like Shelley was saying, we've got our Forever Abstinent, we've got the sponsor workbook. And if you've got a, a lot of times my sponsees will have a question, and I'll say, did you look at the sponsor workbook? Well, no. Did you look it up in Forever Abstinent? What does Forever Abstinent say? And they say, well, I don't know. I said, well, why don't we go and look at what it says? You know, and one of our longtime members always does workshops on sponsorship, and she cuts up pieces of this book and she hands it out to people and asks people to comment or what their experience, strength, and hope is in that area. So we rely on the literature. We don't rely necessarily on our own intellect, you know, because, you know, working on the mind with the mind only causes great confusion. It's true. So anyway, like I say, I'm sponsoring three men right now. Two of them are on maintenance. One of them is actually on a medical abstinence. One of them is a beginner, you know. And I tell you, after working with guys on maintenance for many years, to go back to have someone now who's starting out again is a challenge. But it also forces me to look at my program materials, my Forever Abstinent, my sponsor workbook. So that's some of the things that's going on with me and with my sponsees. My sponsees all called me this morning, you know. So just because I'm at a workshop or I'm at a conference or a convention doesn't mean that I take a vacation from the program. So thanks for letting me share that with you, and we'll turn this over to Shelley.
Thank you, David. Hi, everybody. My name is Shelley. I'm a bulimic compulsive eater in recovery, and I've been doing a sponsorship workshop for many years for the big Sunday meeting, and I know pretty much, you know, I'm gonna go through my experience this is your workshop, so everybody's gonna have a chance to participate. But there's a couple things that David left out. You talked about the three-day rule. If you don't call me for 3 days, I don't sponsor you anymore. Make sure that the person gets a Forever Abstinent book and their big book and their 12 and 12. And I know there's a lot of people in here who are phone bridge. And I know with phone bridge, you have to have permission of the sponsor before all that stuff is sent. Does anybody have questions about that? You know how to do that, right? Okay. The other thing that I want to point out, in my past life, I was a professional, and I've run a lot of groups, and I want to talk about the rules of this group, and I also want to talk about the rules of sponsoring. I'm going to talk about the rules of sponsoring. As a sponsor, it is your job to work with people about the food. What I do is I make the person set a time with me, they call on time, they give me their writing, and I always ask someone to do a gratitude list.
To do a what?
A gratitude list.
Three.
Yeah. Also, if they have issues, if they want to talk or this is going on in their life, I will say to them, I am not your therapist. It's okay to seek outside help. And Al-Anon or any of the other 12-step rooms. That is such an important part of this program because we have to lay the boundaries out. I am not your therapist. Go for outside help. And there are pens here if people need them, if anybody wants to take notes. There was supposed to be paper. Go for outside help. Go to the other 12-step rooms. And I am not your therapist. Now, after the person gives you their food in writing, if you feel like talking to them about it, you know, about other stuff, you can. But they're coming to you as a food sponsor, period, at the beginning. So lay it out. Okay. Most of the time in the groups that I've led, and I know there's some people that have been around for a long time, most of the people only get through the first 30 days. How many people in here are sponsoring people in the first 30 days? Okay. How many people in here are sponsoring people with food and inventory? That's good. How about food, inventory, and step? How about food, inventory, step, and maintenance? Wow. Well, we have a lot of people that have long-term recovery here. It has been my experience that most people have people in the first 30 days. Unfortunately, in our program, you know, they're mostly food sponsors. And what our job as sponsors, how many people here, where are you in your recovery? How many people are food inventory? At least there, food and inventory. Food inventory step and maintenance. Okay, so a lot of people in here are just food sponsors, right? Okay. So it is our job, you know, there's a problem with sponsors in inventory, step, and maintenance because we don't get them through the first 30 days, after the first 30 days. So it is really imperative I like to read page 9 in the Forever Abstinence to my sponsorees when they're first starting in their first 30 days. That is what I read to you when we first came in. And it talks about long-term recovery comes from working the steps of this program. So that's really, really important. So I want to open the floor. Yeah, have everybody share, because for me or David to sit up here and lecture, I want you to learn from this group. So I want everybody to participate if you're willing. Okay, so I want to throw out to the floor how we get people to, and if you would say your name, how do you get people to get from step 3 to the inventory? John, could you step up to the mic, please? Thank you so much.
John, compulsive eater.
Hey, John.
You know, in the first 30 days, you have them read a question a day. So then when I have to do the ceremony, you give them the blue book, you know, and say, hey, we got an inventory, but so let's do the first question for tomorrow. And you just each day I have my sponsees, you know, just write a question a day. Because we started doing that the first 30 days to get it. There's no procrastination, and maybe, and then they just give it to me and we do it over the phone. But if maybe there, and then if it's a deeper question, they can take a couple days to do it, that type of thing, if there's a reading or whatever. Or if it's a real thing that maybe somebody has trouble talking to the on the phone about, you can always meet with them on that level or whatever. But I just have them keep doing it, and I go through the steps that way. And usually, if you just do a question a day, they can, and if they lose their weight in a year's time, they can become a full-service sponsor in maybe around a year's time. So that's what I've been doing.
Thank you. Okay. While you're working the inventory, do you have them doing any other writing besides the inventory questions? That's another thing I want to throw out. So how do you get them to start the inventory? And how do you get them to do any other writing in the during their inventory? I'm going to start calling on people. Suzanne?
Hi, I'm Suzanne. I'm a compulsive eater.
Hi, Suzanne.
I know that some sponsors have their sponsees write all of the questions, and then at the end they sit down with them and go through the whole thing maybe for a half a day or a couple hours or something or more. I prefer the way that my sponsor did it for me, and that's daily. So I don't necessarily have the sponsee write on anything else unless something comes up in my conversation with them or something's pointed out to me, and then maybe if there's a certain concern, I might have them, you know, go through the first three steps if they have to give up some concern of theirs and work through it. But I think it's important to have them thoroughly go through their inventory, you know, one question at a time. And since I do it every day, that's the way that I prefer. So thank you.
Katie, please.
Katie, I'm a compulsive eater.
Hi, Katie.
I do what my sponsor had me do, which is I work on a question a day from the inventory, and then I also have them do the As Bill Sees It, starting with the booklet, page 51. I think it's 50 or 51, mm-hmm. And they answer a question A, you know, one day, the next it's B and C and then so forth, and that's what I'm doing, and along with the inventory. So they're always answering a question from As Bill Sees It, and they're also always answering a question from the inventory.
Great. Anybody else? David.
I'm David. I'm a compulsive eater.
Hi, David.
Thanks, David and Shelley, for leading this workshop. And thanks for everyone and coming to address the mic and saying who you are and speaking clearly, because these are being recorded. And I sponsor at least one fellow in the Eastern time zone who relies on these because they have some face-to-face meetings, but he would be flabbergasted at how many people are in this workshop, you know, let alone some of our larger gatherings. So I've done it a couple of different ways because I find that many of the times I sponsor people who are returning. In one case, I sponsored somebody who came back for the third time, and she was willing, and in the past she had not done a question every day, But with me, I asked for her to do a question every day, to call me every day, to make phone calls, to do service. Keeping anonymity wasn't really an issue. And she did the inventory again, even though it was her third time to do the how inventory. She did the inventory again. She did a question nearly every day, and I stepped her up as a maintenance sponsor a few weeks before her first anniversary. So it's definitely possible to do that. I've had other people who have had in the past the history of writing their whole how inventory, either their whole childhood and then their whole adolescence and then their whole adulthood. And I've taken it all that way. I've also had people who have said on particular questions, not whole sections, but particular questions that they wanted to share that with their therapist rather than me. And I said, that's fine as long as you share it with somebody. It doesn't have to be me. If it is particularly painful, I let people bring what's going on with them to me. I am not a counselor. I am a helpful friend who knows them fairly well. Right. And sometimes I can point something out to them that I see, and I feel that's my job. You know, with other issues other than the food, we get to know people, and we know when they're off. And so I think it's incumbent upon a sponsor, at least I think for me, it's incumbent upon a sponsor to point out where more writing needs to be done. I have assigned additional things when things are going slow sometimes. But yeah, I mean, I stick to Forever Abstinent. I stick to the sponsor guidelines. That's what's there. The best thing I can do is say, what does your food plan say? David is not a dictionary. Right. David is not an encyclopedia of food, although sometimes he'd like to think he is. And I used to do that more. I used to say, oh yeah, you can have a half a cup of that. And I'm doing them a disservice. I'm making the food plan something that they have to go through an intermediary mm-hmm. for, and they need to be comfortable with the food plan themselves so it can be a part of their life so they can share that with their sponsees, et cetera. Thanks.
Welcome.
Thank you.
I just want to tell all of you, since we have a lot of people in 30 days. That's why I'm opening the floor for people that have had success with inventory, talk about how they do it, and then I'm gonna talk about the first 30 days. I want to, you know, I understand that there's a bunch of 30-day people here, you know, so I will open the floor up for that, okay? Alif, did you want to, yes.
Good morning, Avi, compulsive eater.
Hi, Avi.
I too sponsor a lot of people who have been around for quite a while, and they're like, oh, the inventory again, you know. So how I was taken through it was kind of do it at your own pace. And I think that can work for some people, and I actually think it doesn't work well for other people. So I think it's sort of like on an individual basis, too. For me, it did work well. I'm a little bit of a self-starter. I'm not a huge procrastinator. It's not my personality. So that worked well for me. And then I sat down with my sponsor for about 3 or 4 hours, and then we had a little ceremony, and we burnt it in her barbecue, all the stuff I had written. So it was kind of nice to let that go. But for other people, I can see that perhaps, you know, you say that it's good to do a question every day. Do they always do it every day? No. How tough should I be on them? I do like the idea of perhaps reading it to me every day, but some people don't want to do that. So I'm not, it's kind of funny because there seems like there's some wiggle room. And what is the best, what is really the best thing to do for people? I still see that as an individual basis. Sometimes I think people need more of a structure. You should read one to me every day. And then sometimes things will come up in their lives because they will discuss things with me. And we might take a break from inventory, and I say to them, you know, I really think you need to write about this issue that's come up in your life. I agree with David. I often go back and I say, if someone's asking me about the food plan, especially because I have a degree in nutrition, they think I know more than them, but I'm an addict just like them, and I'm on the same bozo bus that they're on. I don't know any better than them, really. And I'll say, you know what? What does it say in the food plan? And I often say that, and it's even good for me to go and remind myself, because sometimes I think I know what it is, and then I have to go read it myself. So I think that if I was very rigid with somebody, because I do sponsor a lot of slippers, doesn't always work, because I think that's what's taken people out in the past as a sponsor. Mm-hmm. And but I feel that there needs to be some structure. And I kind of get a sense of a person once we've gone through that first 30 days. You can get an idea of who they are. So when we go into the inventory process, how do you feel? Do you feel better writing a question every day? Do you want to read it to me every day? Do you want to write a question and then read it to me in 2 months, 3 months, however long it's going to take you? So I'm just, that's what I do.
Thank you. Marilyn, would you like to add something?
Sure. Good morning, and thanks for doing this workshop.
You're welcome.
As a sponsor, I don't find that I'm a rigid sponsor, but I am a structured sponsor, and it's just what I needed in life as well. But sometimes, I'm thinking back to when I did my inventory, I happened to be also traveling across the United States when I was doing that, and I thought that because I was going to be gone for close to 2 months, that I should just let my inventory go, and that would be okay. And then sometimes I thought I would call her, and sometimes I wouldn't, because, I mean, she had to understand I was traveling through different time zones, and that would be very difficult. But to my surprise, she said nothing was going to change. We were going to keep up with the same routine. Every morning I would get up and I would give her my food and my gratitude and so on and so forth. And I always have my sponsors end with a prayer when they speak to me of their choice. I do give them lots of choices in their program. And at first when she told me this, that I would be calling her every single day, I was like, oh, she has to be kidding. But you know what? Not only did it keep me abstinent, not only did it keep me on program, and I am talking so many years ago, years and years ago, it set up the routine and the way of life for me in CEA How. And I was not thinking happy thoughts about her. No, I wasn't. But because I was in so many unfamiliar places, program was so close to my heart and so on my mind, and she kept me on the routine, no matter that I was in other places, no matter that I was on vacation, no matter if I was out riding a bike or whatever I was choosing to do with my day, I knew that program was with me. I knew that God was with me. And so in my sponsoring people, I have done it many different ways. I ask them, would you like to go through a question a day and let's do one section at a time, childhood, adolescence, and adulthood? I have done it that way, and we have met each time a section has been completed. I have also done it the way I did it, where we met at the end, and we took the inventory, and we tore it up, and we burnt it in a ceremony. Felt like such a lifting off the shoulders. But I, too, realize that people have different personalities, and I try to keep as closely structured as I can with them, giving some leeway for different personalities.
Thank you so much. Anybody else who has worked the inventory with sponsees? What we're talking about is that in See How we have a large number of food sponsors, but not a lot of inventory sponsors. So how do we work the inventory with our sponsees? Did you want to share something, Brendan? Or that would be great.
Hi, everybody. I'm Brendan. I'm a grateful compulsive eater.
Hi, Brendan.
Thanks for asking me to share, Shelley. The inventory was an interesting process for me because, similarly to what was last shared, I think that just to share my experience, strength, and hope, there are times where to cater to the individual, I have had some folks that have some very deep things in the inventory where, let me backtrack. I've tried two different things when I sponsor and when I have been sponsored in this and other programs where a question a day is sometimes good because we can get more inventory sponsors rather quickly because if there's 150, 170 questions, 6 months later, somebody's qualified as an inventory sponsor. And then somebody had introduced the idea to me that when you're giving a question a day, it could be thought of as the fourth and the fifth together step. And sometimes people are not necessarily ready for that. So very much depending on the sponsee, especially if they have some deep, deep things, they may need to share that at a different timeline. So these days, what I've been doing is having people and letting them know sort of the mission of, look, we don't have a lot of inventory sponsors in our program. So if you can keep on the question a day pace, we'll keep checking in. We'll see where you're at. I'll usually have them still do a short writing on like As Bill Sees It or one of the daily meditations so that we're still doing something in the terms of writing and them getting in touch with their compulsive disease. But many times I will let them work on the inventory on their own so that they can give. There was something to when I gave a fifth step all at once. There felt like this unburdening. And for some folks, I think a question a day, that may not necessarily be the case. But I've also had sponsees where after 2-3 months, you realize, okay, we're only about halfway through the inventory. So then at that point, I can gently guide them towards, let's start answering a question a day and you know, get the childhood section done. Sometimes people, they just need to get rolling on the inventory. I think that's all I wanted to share. Thank you.
Thank you, Brendan. Anybody else want to share how they work their inventory with sponsees? Ruth, would you like to mention something? We're trying to teach. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I salute you.
Ruth, compulsive overeater.
Hey. Hi, Ruth.
Morning, everybody. So I just walked in, so you're talking about sponsoring for inventory.
Inventory, yes.
And I did catch Brendan's piece, and okay. I really do agree. I found that for me, doing a question a day and reading it, I lose the ability as the sponsor to track trends and threads. When the inventory is read all together, maybe broken up into childhood and adolescent and then adulthood, because there's a lot of questions and I get tired, is that I start to see patterns. I start to see where the same thing is showing up in every question or every other question, and that helps me as a sponsor to guide my sponsees on what to work on next. Because once the inventory is done and the fifth step is done, then we move into the next steps, which is what do we do with this information? How do we clean these things up? What are the defects to work on? And for me as a sponsor, it's helpful for me to hear it all at once so that I can make and what I do is I try to write down either mentally or on paper sometimes, is to make notes as I'm listening to the answers to the questions as to some ideas that I may have about people that they owe amends to or issues that seem to be something that bothers them throughout the entire inventory, and that helps me to guide them in the next step. So I prefer that. However, that's usually with somebody who's doing it for the first time. If I'm sponsoring people, and I tend to have in the past sponsored a lot of people who've been in the program before and have come in and out and have done an inventory a couple of times already, so it's not like learning for the first time what's going on in there. Then sometimes I will do it on a question-by-question basis because I feel like it's important to get a little deeper. So I have them do one question at a time, and we talk about it, and maybe they write on it for 3 or 4 days before we go to the next question. So it really depends on the sponsee. You know, we say that everybody's sort of sponsored according to the same guidelines, but actually I sponsor different depending on who I'm sponsoring, because they have different needs. And so again, if it's somebody who's been in before and have done inventories, I may do it a little different. But for the first time, I definitely like for it to do it together as the fifth step. I do agree too that sometimes it's really scary to read stuff. And what I've found with newcomers is that if they write it all out and then come to read it, by the time they're ready to read it, they're ready to read it. When they're writing it, they say, oh, I'm not reading this to you. this one I can't read. I said, that's fine. Just go on to the next one, and we'll reassess when you're ready. And by the time they get to the fifth step, they're ready. So I think for me, the most important thing about being a sponsor is to listen, to pay attention, and to work a good program. I always say the best way to be a good sponsor is to work a good program. So, you know, I take it seriously, and I really try to use the information that I get from my sponsees to help them, you know, because that's, I feel, what we're here for. So
thank you so much.
Good. Thanks.
Okay, before we regress, David, was there anything that you wanted to say, or is there anybody else? Tazewell, please share.
Hi, everyone. My name is Tazewell, and I'm compulsive eater.
Hey, Tazewell.
And when it comes to the inventory, you know, I've had many years and many different ways of inventory. And it is very, very important to get across to the particular personality that is doing this, because, of course, like this lady said, the personalities differ, and your approach is really easy because it's a simple position. It's on how honest and open and willing they're actually, you know, capable at that present time to do this. And it's individual. Yeah, I can't rush anybody through this. I per se had a wonderful experience every single time I did it. And I agree with the fella that said about the daily question and answer and fifth and fourth step. In certain ways it is. But the most important thing is that we have a guideline and a way of doing it that makes it simple. Of course, when I first entered the 12 steps, I found that this inventory looked like the Rock of Gibraltar, and I didn't want to start at all. I didn't want to start at all. In fact, I lost every time. I lost because I couldn't look at myself, you know. And if one doesn't want to look at themselves, the chance of them staying abstinent or anything is probably not going to happen. I appreciate everything that's been said, though. I also believe that it's It's on a daily basis. I share with my sponsees, if we get into the breath, if we get into the presence, we're actually able to interact, you know, consciously. You want to talk about your character defects? Good luck. I mean, it's so overwhelming at times. If I were to think about it, I'd sit around and spin. But the thing is I don't, because I continually get back into the presence and be humbled by it. I mean, really, it's overwhelming. But if I walk through that in regards to seeing what it is, addressing it, and being open, you know, and it comes back to honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. And I think that those are the keys for the inventory and the 10th step and even the 11th step. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Anybody else? Or David? And then I want to move back to the 30 days. Okay, go ahead.
Again, David, compulsive eater. You know, one of the things I like about doing a question a day is that we can get into it. I feel like we can usually get into it more deeply. Fearless moral inventory. As I say, the individual questions. But you know, there's something about sponsorship that I find is intuitive. If I'm doing my prayer and meditation to start my day, and that's before I speak to my sponsees, you know, I try to ask my higher power how to guide this individual. And there are some people that I have to be very strict with and say, you were supposed to call at 6:30, you know. And then maybe on the weekends I can give them alternative times. When are you going to call me? Are you going to call me at 6:30 or are you going to call me at 8:30? And other times there are people that I just, I can't push too hard because I don't want them to leave the program, but I want them to do the work. And so then I'll ask them, you know, is there a better time for you to call? Do you want to go on to the next question? You know, and that sort of thing. And then, you know, one of the things that my sponsor did for me when I started in the program was when he found that I was balking at some of the guidelines, some of the procedures, he had me write on the act of surrender in the therapeutic process. And in the newer versions of the sponsor workbook, I don't think it's any accident that it's in here twice, you know, at the beginning and at the end. So there's a certain amount of resistance in some people to do the questions and to commit the food. And also another thing too is that sometimes people don't want to give me specifics. They'll say, I'm going to have this meat or I'm going to have this vegetable or whatever. And there are differences in different meats and different vegetables. And when you're dealing, for instance, like when I'm sponsoring someone that's a vegetarian, you know, someone will say, well, I'm just going to have some soy. Well, what kind of soy? You know, how much, you know, and it's very important for me to make sure that they know what the proper proportions are. And again, referring back to what does it say in Forever Abstinent? You know, is that, for instance, soy sausage? Is that tofu? Is that edamame? Is that, you know, what kind of, for instance, what kind of soy is it? So, like I say, you know, it's really important for me to check in with my higher power before I start talking to my sponsees so that I can individualize my approach to each sponsee. So thanks for letting me share that with you.
Thank you. Okay, I'm going to move on to, we're going to regress to the first 30 days since the bulk of our program are people that are working on the first 30 days, but at least you've had a taste on how to get people to move on after the first 30 days. Okay, so another thing I didn't mention, sponsorship is like, I came into this program, I was a perfectionist. And I was afraid to sponsor because I was afraid I would do it wrong. But sponsorship is just like a 10th step. It is trial, and we have trial and error. We look at our shortcomings, we write them down, and we work on them. Sponsorship is the same way. It's trial and error. And I find for me, if I am working harder than my sponsee is, it may be time to reconsider who they're, you know, whether or not I'm a good sponsor for them. If I have a sponsee, who is chronically slipping, sometimes I will say, or if there are times I don't feel it's a good fit, I will say, you know, I don't think I'm doing you any favors. You know, you keep slipping, or this doesn't feel right, and I think it maybe we it would be better if you get a new sponsor. And, you know, sometimes I will say, I'm willing, you can leave your food until you pick somebody, but I'm going to give you a week or 10 days to get a new sponsor. So I just want to put that out there. I want to open up the floor. Oh, and I also want to ask for PhoneBridge people. I have sponsored people on PhoneBridge. And the step-up ceremony I've done on Skype, and it was wonderful. You know, I like to check in with people on PhoneBridge. I sponsored a woman in Michigan for years, and she did PhoneBridge, and I was never on PhoneBridge because I am a lucky person. I get to go to live meetings, but now I like to listen to a PhoneBridge now and then, and I do service on PhoneBridge as well. You know, I put my hand in different places. So I want to open up the floor for people in their first 30 days of sponsoring and what we can help you with to get you through that. So, or else we'll move on, okay? Would you like to share?
Sure.
Please. I'd like everybody to have an opportunity. I want, you know, this is your workshop.
Good morning. Thank you.
You're welcome.
My name is Liz. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hey, Liz.
From Apple Valley, California. I was in another program many, many years ago and did really well for a long time, and then I went back out there for a long time. I started back 2 years ago, August 1st. Grabbed it because I had done it before. It was helpful for me that I had done it before, so I grabbed it and have been pretty steady. Had a couple of slips in the last couple of years, but was able to get right back on. I have about 90 days right now.
Okay.
I've sponsored and invited we started with one live meeting. We went to three within about 6 months, and I was able to help get that going. We had to kind of back off one of them because it was just too much. There was only just two or three of us that were able to really secretary and take positions, so it got to be too much for me. So I have learned that it's okay not to be perfect, and it's okay to love people right where they're at. It's been a real struggle because I, as you all have seen, so many people that just want to use it for a diet. And it's really hard because I love this program and I love what it's done for me, and I want it for other people so badly. But that's all. I'm learning that's not enough. What I want isn't enough. It's got to be what they want. And so I've probably sponsored 8-10 people through their first 30 days and moved them right into the next book, had that book ready for them, and it just either wasn't for them or wasn't the right time. And some of them have come back and forth a number of times, and I'm just never sure where to start them when they do come back. If they've done the fourth step, I usually I try to be very kind and very loving because I know that's what works for me. And I often recommend for them, if they're not comfortable with their fourth step, for me to go to their clergy person. And because I know the first time many years ago, that was what worked for me. And then each time I did come back, I got a little more and more comfortable and a little more trusting with my sponsor and was able to go that route. But I have pretty much stayed to the book for the first 30 days. I loved what I heard this morning about making sure they know I am not a counselor. I think I needed to really hear that because I try to, I'm almost too accommodating. So I'm learning to have a little stronger boundaries, especially with real dear friends. Sometimes I'm not what's best for them. So it's okay to say, you know, I'll get you started, but let's hunt for somebody who's really a good fit for you. Sometimes I have to love people enough to let them go, and that's hard. And there's six or eight people out there that I love with all my heart, and they're out there, and I stay in touch. I'll call them once a week or once every couple of weeks just because I'm their friend. I'm not just their sponsor. And right. I think someday that might be what's going to help them come back, too. So I know I have appreciated that. And they'll say, why are you still staying in touch with me? I've let you down. And I'll say, that doesn't matter. You're my friend. And I think in time, sometimes that'll help them come back. Thank you.
You're welcome. For the people in the first 30 days, as far as if you've never been a sponsor or you're just sponsoring, as it is written, I was sponsored as it was written, and that is the best way, as it is written. I am a food sponsor. I am not your therapist. Seek outside help. Give me your food. Give me your writing and a gratitude list. That's nice and easy. Did you want to share? Please, Dan.
My name is Dan. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Dan.
I've been in program 11 months and 11 days, and I've lost 109 pounds.
That's great.
Thank you. My question is, how do you not invest yourself into your sponsees?
Okay.
Sorry.
No, we all understand. We all have the same, we've walked it.
I mean, I know I've stayed, you know, abstinent, but you know when you get to know these people and they leave, how do you separate that? So that's what I had a question on.
Good question. Hi, everybody. I'm Shelley Belima, compulsive eater in recovery. We all come to this program broken. And I know for me, in the early stages, in my professional life and in my life as a sponsor, I get attached to people. And those phone calls on time, I'm looking forward to it. I walk the walk, I talk the talk. This program is my life. Without it, you know, I'm a no matter what person. And it's really hard. It's through experience that you learn that they have their own higher power. And all we can do, we're a vessel for God to walk them through what have been given to us. Because I know, for me, and you'll hear other people share, that I want everybody to do it. And in the first 30 days, it talks about the need not to push until they are ready. We all know that question. But that doesn't make it easy. And it's hard. But somehow, through experience, and, you know, I've had to say they have their own higher power. They have their own higher power. And, you know, You do a lot. Do you do a lot of phone bridge, Dan?
I usually get most of my sponsees from the phone bridge, actually.
Okay. It's hard.
I'm in an L.A. area, so I can go to a lot of face-to-face.
Right. It's hard. It's hard. Yeah, I'd like to hear from people that haven't shared. Lois, go ahead.
Okay, we're allowed to share.
Yeah, share, and then I need your signature, please.
Hi, I'm Lois. I'm a compulsive eater.
Yeah. Hey, Lois.
I've been in the program a long time, by the grace of God, and I've been abstinent. Today is 26 and a half years on the button. Yeah. The 23rd of every month is the, you know. So with that, sponsoring at first, and I mean the first 5 years, I would breathe for people. I mean, I was like their iron lung, you know, trying to almost keep a bubble from falling on the floor, you know, and I've grown. Okay, and I've let people get away with, not the food part. I'm very stringent on that, but they never went to meetings. They didn't do service. It was basically a diet club. It took me a whole year to finally address that and say, because I was dying. That's the key here. When it was starting to eat me, you know, I got to get into my spidey sense, that twisted guts, and talking to my sponsor week after week about doesn't feel right. Finally said, you know, I'm not your diet buddy. You've got to give back to the program. At least go to a meeting. And they didn't have phone bridge in those days. But anyway, so she goes, oh, okay. And that was the end of that, and she walked away. So she just wanted a diet buddy. All right. When things go south, okay, first I'm going to say, there's nothing more wonderful than that connection when you get a sponsee and you're just rolling along. You know, it's wonderful. And you want it to go on forever. I know I do. And life takes twists and turns. And, it may fall off. Okay. If and when it does fall off, this is what I finally learned. And it's usually a relief for both people. I'm in a fellowship. We don't quit each other in the fellowship. Now, I'm in a lot of face-to-face meetings, so I tell them, this is a death-defying disease. That's really the bottom line. I almost died from this dumb disease. And I'm only in recovery. I'm not cured. So that's why I hang in here tight. Please get a sponsor that you can hear, that the growth will go. Please, I beg you, I want you to go on and find that connection where you're getting the recovery. Okay. And when you see me at a meeting, you do not have to run to the other side of the street. We're in a fellowship. I will come up to you and greet you. I don't become your enemy. We're in a fellowship, for God's sakes, and I want you to get recovery. And that's the bottom line of what matters here. And yeah, sometimes I feel like, oh, there's a hole in my soul, but I've now realized that nature abhors a vacuum, and God will send another one. And before I know it, and there you go, and we keep rolling on. And when I see that person, we embrace and say, hi, how you doing? And that's why I learned to grow up and not have shame or guilt. That was a big one on that. And
Thank you.
Oh, very cool, you know.
Thank
Live
you.
And be well.
Thank you. Lois, could you please sign?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So, detaching with love. And, you know, I you know, for the phone bridge people, you know, it's the same for all of us, even when we have face-to-face meetings. You know, they have their own higher power. We just have to deal with it. And our abstinence, I should have said this at the beginning, comes before anything else. And if I feel like my abstinence is being threatened by a sponsee, I will let them go. And you don't have to explain why. This is not working for me. It's not working for me. And if they try to ask you why, I'll keep me. It's, you know, be firm. It's not working for me, because your abstinence comes before anybody else's. Did you want to share? Okay. Yeah, I do want to address those people that don't have live meetings, please. So please, you know,
Hi.
Ask your questions.
I'm Wendy, compulsive eater.
Hi, Wendy.
I'm coming back from several months away. However, I have had also several months of abstinence, and at which point I was, it felt like sailing through the program.
Could you say where you're from and if you have live meetings, please?
Yes. I'm from Apple Valley, California.
Okay.
And I'm a friend of Liz's, and okay. So I have the same opportunity for live meetings that she does. We're making them up as we go. We're an isolated place. So the phone bridge is a connection and an important part of recovery. I came to this workshop because finding a sponsor that works, that I can work with, that I have a sense of connection with, that I'm looking for someone who gets me, and I wasn't sure that that was possible. I felt like there was certain rigidities in the sponsorship idea, and if I didn't, when I slipped, I felt like I was getting punished.
Ah, we hear that a lot.
And so when I did slip, and I also had some sensitivities about what I shared. I wanted to be open and honest, but the person I was talking with didn't seem to have that empathy for where I was. I needed that. So the reason I came to this workshop is I wanted, was it me? Was it I just didn't have the right sponsor? Because I'm ready to return. And I want to work the program. I want the spiritual clarity as well as the physical clarity.
Thank you.
So I'm very encouraged to hear from those of you who have years of abstinence, but also the years of working with people. We are all people, broken, as you said, and I am confident that my higher power intends for me to grow spiritually through this program. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you. At the end, what I'll do is I'll ask if there are any available sponsors. Deborah, please.
Hi, I'm Deborah. I'm a compulsive eater.
Hi, Deborah.
And I just want to thank you so much for what, Shelley, what you just said about sponsoring people, except when it might be possibly detrimental to our own program, because someone who is in, I only have 6 months. I've got almost 30 years in another program.
Right.
But those, I like to think those credits don't transfer. I've got 6 months. I'm a newcomer. Be a newcomer. So someone that's an under-eater and a vegan wanted me to sponsor her. And I just want to say thank you for saying what you just said, because it has made me uncomfortable. And I like to think that I'm not going to be affected by someone else's food. But I did find myself under-eating. And so I just feel like I just got permission. You know, I'm not the right sponsor. It's too new. And anyway, I wanted to say that. The other thing I wanted to say is the idea of, I think it's so important, the questions. In other words, when my first 30 days, I don't tend to eat salad dressing. So I was afraid that I wasn't, you know, that I was going to pass out. I wasn't going to get enough calories, this sort of thing. And I think what's important is to ask, you know, what's the fear? And once I get in touch with the fear, oh, I'm afraid I'm going to pass out, then that sponsor can give reassurance. Well, you're probably not, and if you are, we'll deal with that, you know. But just to find out, rather than, this is what I feel so lucky about right now, is I have a sponsor that asks me questions. It's not this hard line of like, well, that's not how we do it. It's more like, wait a minute, what's going on? What's the fear? And then I'm able to get past it and stay connected to this program. And then the other thing I wanted to say was about giving hope. You know, the other thing I couldn't conceptualize at the beginning was, and again, especially the first 30 days, was it's just 30 days. Like, it's 30 days. You can hang in there. Like, that didn't occur to me. It felt like it was going to be forever. And luckily for me, I'm also in Los Angeles, and one of the people said, you know, it's just food. And I just held on to that. It was like miraculous. I went to Hawaii, I went on vacation. And I was all fine. So I'm coming from the other side of the coin with the sponsorship. But
it's just food.
Yeah, it's just food. And hang in there. And I love this idea of, you know, we don't we might have a relapse of some kind, but we don't leave the program. Like, that is a brand new thinking yes. for someone like me, just to stay. So I'm really grateful you're doing this workshop and so happy to be here.
Thank you. Yeah, don't ever leave the rooms no matter what. No matter what. How much time do we have, David?
About 7 minutes.
Okay. I just want to open the, is there anybody else on PhoneBridge or anybody else that has any questions? You didn't get to share, you didn't get to share. There's some people that didn't get to participate. Do you have any questions, anything you want to ask? I mean, we're all here to help you. Could you, go ahead and stand up at the mic.
I should have said at the back of the room like normal, but I'm not a sponsor. I'm Terry, and I'm a compulsive eater, and I'm from Beaumont, California, Terry. I'm really happy to be here. And actually, I got to hear a little bit of my story. I have a really poor history in this program. I've been in since 2002, and I've had relapses, but inventory has always been a real problem for me because when I got to the inventory and somebody said, you need to do this, and I started, and then I would start out, maybe get through childhood, and that would be about it, because I was very fearful. So I'm abstinent only as of July 11th this
Yay.
Month, but I do know that as long as I'm in the rooms, there is hope, and I love coming to this convention and being around people who have abstinence, who have years. There's such that sense of unconditional love and acceptance. And so I'm really, really grateful for that. And I came to this program, to this workshop, because I've gotten past 30 days and have tried to sponsor people, but I've never really gotten a hold of anyone who wanted a sponsor. And so I've not been able to keep it. So I know you can't keep it if you don't give it away. So
right.
I'm looking forward to that. So thank you.
Thank you so much. You know, I just want to throw out there, as a sponsor, one of the other things, and then, young lady, would you like to share after I say a few things? You! I can see you want to. So I just want to say that when I start sponsoring, by the way, I have 12 years, 6 months, and 20-something days. But when I sponsor, I always try to poke my, I pace them, and I say, in order to stay, besides working the steps, you got to do service, do a reading, you know, you got to do, you know, just show, do service, raise your hand, share at a meeting. Also, you're making your outreach calls. How many meetings are you going to? These are all things, you're not nagging people. You got to pace them to get them to be able to acclimate themselves into the program. So that's something we didn't mention here. I just want to point that out. Would you like to share? And I think this will be our last share. Okay.
I'm Susie, a compulsive eater from
Susie.
Oregon, and I do the PhoneBridge. That's all we have. It's all I've ever known. So those are my meetings. And I struggle because one of you said you were trained in nutrition. I'm trained in nutrition, so that makes it a struggle. Mm-hmm. And I need to stick with the book. I need to say, and I do, I say, well, look it up. It's in the Forever Abstinent book. What does it say? What does it say? And I have to keep going back to it because it isn't in my training. But it's in the big book. I mean, it's in the other problem is that I'm also a counselor, so I have to not go there. And it's good to get permission to not go there.
Right.
And what this is helping me understand is to be a sponsor. It also helps me in being able to counsel because I get people that are stuck in their relationships. And so to learn how to sponsor well. And I find that the love is what constrains people. And that word constraint means like to put them in a cattle chute. And so they don't go out of that to do their own will. They do, as the as the third step prayer is, that, that I may better do thy will, which is a healthy way of living. It's a healthy way of passing love on. And if I can love my sponsees in that way, and someone said they always pray before they talk to their sponsees, and I think that's wonderful guidance, because I have two sponsees, and they don't need, well, actually, I have three, and they don't need the same approach. So it's not, it isn't something that you can read, and it's not a textbook thing, and you go about it this way. It's conforming to love, which doesn't always look the same. You have to love, somebody said, you have to love them well enough to let them go. And sometimes they have to go out again and be miserable enough so they can realize that as they, someone also said that it humbles us to live in reality and look at what we could be or what we would be without abstinence. And that's humbling. So it's a journey. Somebody also said that it's a journey. It's just trial and error. And
exactly.
We just pray that we do it the way God wants it, and that draws people. It's a program of attraction and not promotion.
So, great. Thank you so much. David, did you want to say anything before we conclude?
No, there's one thought that occurred to me, and maybe sort of periphery. It's, you know, we say it's not about the food, it's not about the weight. And when I was a newcomer and maybe being sponsored, I didn't understand what the hell that meant. I mean, I thought I was here for to lose weight, you know, but, you know, working the inventory and working the first 30 days, you begin to understand what the underlying causes are for your disease, for why you do the things that you do. So that's why it's important as sponsors to help and guide people through that so that they understand. Understanding is always the booby prize, but I mean, we have to walk forward in faith in order to get to that understanding, and part of that is doing something with a sponsor that we haven't done before, and uncovering, discovering, and discarding those things that are causing us to do the things that we do. And it's not about what's right or wrong, it's what works or what doesn't work. So thank you.
Thank you so much. For those of you that didn't get the opportunity to share, you're welcome to come up after we conclude. And I want to thank all of you for allowing us to do this workshop with you and for all your wonderful participation. So would you all please join me in the Serenity Prayer? Why don't we stand up and join again?
Accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can.